I'll go out and get her the perfect Xmas present. Something so great she'll never want to be unhappy again.
Just be back by sundown, Mon.
We'll see. I like to haggle.
You can't stay out on Xmas Eve. You'll be killed.
Say what?
Good Lord. He doesn't know about Santa Claus.
I know about Santa Claus.
Back in 2801, the Friendly Robot Company built a robotic Santa to determine who'd been naughty and who'd been nice and distribute presents accordingly. But something went wrong.
Wow, 2801. Anyway...
Wait, you fool! Due to a programming error, Santa's standards were set too high, and he invariably judges everyone to be naughty.
If he catches you after dark, he'll chop off your head and stuff your neck full of toys from his sack of horrors.
Nice meeting you.
Hey, what is up, everybody? Welcome to Screen Geeks Radio. Merry Xmas to you, sir.
And Merry Christmas to you, Dave.
This is Dave.
This is Barry.
So, I had to do the Futurama thing. I talked about it a week or two ago, so...
No, that was wonderful. I gotta say, as Dave was prepping that, I was like, why don't we just watch the episode? And I'd never seen it before, and I gotta say, that's one of the first presents I've gotten for Christmas this year. That was wonderful. If you have a chance to check the Futurama Christmas episode, that is wonderful.
Yeah, it's on
stuff.
The second season.
So funny.
It is the goodness. So, let's talk about what came out. Well, actually, you know, before that, you know, we've talked about our Christmas... traditions and such in the past, and we've started a new one in our household. For any sci-fi, any fantasy fans, you all know of Terry Pratchett, who was just recently diagnosed with Alzheimer's, unfortunately. Mm. But the BBC actually put up, or Sky One, I forgot who. The special antenna version I watched was from Sky One HD, but they made a 3-hour long translation of The Hogfather, and it's absolutely glorious. It's got David Wyndham in it, I believe, and he's like the biggest name probably, but all the characters are beautiful. If you're a Pratchett fan, watch it however you can. I decided to go ahead and import it. I think it's hitting region 1 in March over here in the U.S. So
cool.
When it comes out, check it out. It has become a new Christmas tradition for us.
Nice. So I fell asleep. How come in March for something like that?
I don't know. You'd think they'd do it kind of odd. Now. Yeah, that's according to Amazon, so I very much could be wrong. But yeah, I just had to talk about it. You must see this thing. The guy who plays Mr. Teotami, is awesome. He's the creepiest little...
Sweet.
He'll creep you out like no one else.
So look for The Hogfather in March.
Yes. So let's talk about what's hitting theaters this week.
Interesting, very eclectic week. A little something for everybody. Mike Nichols' political satire, Charlie Wilson's War with Tom Hanks, Julia Roberts, and Philip Seymour Hoffman. National Treasure, Book of Secrets. You asked for it, America. You made the first one a hit. This is what you get. Nicolas Cage, everybody from the first one, plus Helen Mirren and Ed Harris. P.S. I Love You with Hilary Swank and Gerard Butler. Gerard Butler probably wondering what he's doing in this movie.
Sweeney, it's crap.
You know, I'll say this really quick. Marty has not seen it yet, but his official title for the sequel is P.S. I'm Still Dead. He's not a fan either. Sweeney Todd, The Demon Barber of Fleet Street, the new Tim Burton, Johnny Depp collaboration, wonderful musical. And Walk Hard, The Dewey Cox Story with John C. Reilly.
So you saw National Treasure.
I did.
You took the bullet for the team.
Boy,
is this like looking at possibly your worst of list?
No. I was talking to Jules about it. It's like, it's not bad enough to be a bad movie, but it's just not. It literally is what it is. It's the kind of movie you watch on an airplane because there's nothing else to do for 2 hours. And it's like, it's such a waste of great actors. I mean, here you've got Ed Harris and Nicolas Cage, again, reteamed after The Rock, you know, and there's like no tension between the two of them. Ed Harris looks mildly peeved, even though he's supposed to be the villain. The movie goes through the same plot points as the first one. It even ends like the first one, where like the bad guys and the good guys have to work together to figure everything out. There's a car chase that's just like the one in the first movie. And then like the movie couldn't be less believable. I mean, you know, and I know you're not supposed to take these movies.
The first one wasn't very believable.
But this one really stretches that. I mean, the whole thing with the president is so ridiculous. Like, the president is so accommodating, even though he's being kidnapped by Nicolas Cage. And at one point, like, Nicolas Cage is like, okay, I have to go kidnap the president. It's like, he says stuff like that the whole movie. I kept waiting for him to say something like, we have to go steal the Statue of Liberty. We have to go blow up the planet
Earth. I am Ghost Rider.
Seriously, like the whole movie, he makes like the most preposterous things, and he's like, says the most ridiculous stuff, and his little posse with him, and they're like, okay, yeah, let's go do it, Ben, you know, and they go trot around the world, and they do like some impossible, ridiculous thing. And I mean, even Robert Langdon in The Da Vinci Code, which is really what these movies are, they're just like Da Vinci Code for wimps. Even Robert Langdon took at least a few minutes to figure things out. But like Ben Gates, he like talks through something that takes him like 30 seconds to figure out. Okay, the window is facing north and the wind is facing east. So therefore, it's northeast and E. And E is the code. Okay, let's go. And like the whole movie is like that. And it's just.
So he's channeling Keanu Reeves? Because that's what it sounds like.
I just have the worst Nicolas Cage impression.
Oh, okay, so I'm making sure.
Sorry. Anyway, it's just it's not a bad movie, but I honestly thought the first National Treasure was better.
Ooh, but I'm staying away from this.
But seriously, it's for me, it was like more of the same, really, and it wasn't bad enough to equal a bad movie because it's very well made, you know, and it's very agreeable and inoffensive, and you know, it is what it is. It's a movie you can take your whole family to. There's a little something for everyone. But, I mean, this is like Indiana Jones without an iota of intelligence or passion.
See, the only reason I watched it the first time is because we had it on Netflix. We didn't have anything else to watch that night. And we're like, well, let's finish it.
Way to watch it. Let's just finish this thing.
Yeah, let's just get it over with. Yeah, okay. You know,
the first one, it was the same situation where it was a family Christmas movie night. So, like, we all went out as a family and saw it, and they all had a good time. That was exactly how I saw the first one. But the first movie I actually saw on my flight from Colorado to Maui, and I actually saw it going back to National Treasure. So I have this fear. I told Julia, because, you know, we're going to be out there for the Maui Film Festival this year. I have this fear that in June I'm going to be watching it at, like, 20,000 feet. Again, you know.
No, it'll be ways. National Treasure 2.
Oh, that's, yeah. Book, National Treasure 2. Book of Secrets. Yeah, I just know it's coming.
And you saw Sweeney Todd. We have your review up on the site already.
Yes. Yeah, I love Sweeney Todd.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's a wonderful film. Not for the whole family. Definitely not. Very dark. extremely gory and violent. Even for people who like Sleepy Hollow. This is violent stuff, but... I thought it was just wonderful. Some wonderful sequences. The music is beautiful. And Johnny Depp, I thought, did a great job. He has a voice very much like a young David Bowie. And Sacha Baron Cohen steals his big scene. And I think it's just a great, great film.
Very cool. Yeah. Right on.
I can't say enough. I could barely even describe the experience. There's nothing else out there like it, which is one of the reasons it's so great, because you can't compare this to anything. It's so crazy. Like, it's gorier than Little Shop of Horrors. It's darker than Dance in the Dark. There's never been a musical quite this sick and wrong, but funny and very moving.
So it sounds like this has actually been a pretty decent year for musicals, just between this and Once. And
Hairspray. Yeah, it's been a really good year. Yeah, you know, and Dreamgirls, I didn't think of. I thought Dreamgirls was a bit overrated, but even Dreamgirls wasn't bad either.
I enjoyed watching it. I just probably will never watch it again.
Next year will be a real litmus test, because next year we got Mamma Mia, the ABBA musical.
Yeah,
and that'll really.
That you see me shaking my head.
That could
no.
go either way for most people, because I like ABBA, but a whole ABBA musical, I don't know.
Gotcha. All right, let's move on to the DVDs, which some are already out. For some reason. Oh, because Tuesday's Christmas Day. That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, but no, I agree with you. Really weird to go to the store and be like, oh, I didn't know The Kingdom came out. So Peter Berg's The Kingdom came out, as well as David Cronenberg's Eastern Promises already, and the Ben Stiller flop, The Heartbreak Kid.
There you go. That's our... we mentioned more stuff last week, but we just didn't feel like talking about it again. It was pretty bad.
This is stuff they should have waited for January. I mean, who's gonna buy Eastern Promises as a stocking stuffer, for Pete's sake? Yeah, it's Viggo Mortensen's Willie. Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
And then, you know, The Heartbreak Kid, which is like an anti-romantic comedy. And The Kingdom, which is a very good film, but, I mean, not really, you know, on the same line as like White Christmas and, you know, It's a Wonderful Life.
So. Black Christmas.
Yeah, exactly.
Silent Night and Deadly Night, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk some news. We'll save your big news for the last, because that's going to take the most time by far.
Okay.
We'll start with the Hellboy 2 trailer.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
It looks promising. You know, the first one, it's not my favorite comic book movie of all time by a long shot, but it was fun. And it's a good time. So I'm looking forward to the second one.
It's cool in the trailer how they're really playing up Guillermo del Toro, you know, obviously, you know, his post-Pan Labyrinth career. Yeah. So they're really making it like this is, you know, again, in the vein of that film, but it really isn't. I mean,
no.
Hellboy is, I mean, you know, Pan's Labyrinth was violent, but it's very elegant. Hellboy is, you know...
It's Die Hard with supernatural.
Yeah, to use
elements.
An expression I don't normally use, balls to the wall action. I mean, it's really, you know.
I think it's gonna be a good time. I'm really looking forward to it. It actually did it make? Oh, it almost made my top 10 of most anticipated almost. Films next year. Yeah,
we'll get to that in a second.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
It's gonna be a good list.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I thought Hellboy 2 looked promising. The Hancock teaser also premiered the other night.
Oh my gosh, they should have kept the original title.
Hancock. Yeah. Well,
no. Tonight He Comes. I mean,
Tonight He Comes. Well, you know, the original title when this thing first got written was The Mark, which I thought was fine. Maybe they thought it was too much like The Mask, but I thought The Mark was a good superhero title. But yeah, Tonight He Comes, and now Hancock.
It looks funny, though.
It looks, yeah, it's just...
It's a, you know, it couldn't be any worse than Meteor Man, Blank Man, or Pluto Nash.
I'll tell you what, I'm just saying.
I mean, we're looking at African American superhero movies.
Yeah,
this looks like it could stand far and above, head and shoulders above the rest. Of course, with that those titles I just named off, that's not saying much.
Well, that's true. I mean, the trailer almost reminded me a little bit of my super ex girlfriend with the throwing of the large fishy animal. I'll tell you this story really, really quick. The first time I ever came across the Iron Giant, I was on a road trip going through this little Bible Belt town in Indiana, and they had this really small town, but they also had this huge movie theater. And on the marquee was the Iron Giant and Dick, the movie about Richard Nixon.
Okay.
But there was this big tree covering half of the marquee, so I'm driving, and all I see in this gigantic letters in marquee now showing giant dick. I'm like, what kind of town is this?
That's rather than the Iron Giant.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be a little bit worse.
Yeah, yeah, you're right, you're right. Well, anyway, that was my first impression of the Iron Giant. I didn't even know what that was until I saw the marquee. But anyway, to me, this is another one of those titles. Like,
it looks like it could be fun, though.
The movie does not look bad. It's Peter Berg and Charlize Theron is in it, but I don't know.
It's Will Smith. I mean, again, you know, in I Am Legend, he really didn't play Will Smith.
Yeah.
As he tends to do. He's been kind of taking roles that aren't like that. You know, Pursuit of Happiness was very much like that as well. This looks like a comedic take that's also playing against his type.
Yeah, but I'm not sure if he's right to play a deadbeat alcoholic superhero, you know? He wouldn't be my first choice.
Yeah,
he's almost a little too intelligent for something like that, but...
Which is kind of, you know, I don't know. We'll have to see
like
what happens.
Like, Adam Sandler, yes, but Jim Carrey, Will Smith. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Gotcha. Well, let's move. So we got the trailers going. We got to talk about the Forgetting Sarah Marshall trailer.
Yes.
This looks brilliant.
I thought it looks pretty good.
This is like the most, like, there are cringe movies like Meet the Parents and all this stuff where it's just like Superbad was like this too. You're just, these guys are such losers and you cringe every time they talk. And this is going to be a movie full of it, but it looks hilarious.
Yeah, and you got a lot of legit Apatow crew in here, Jonah Hill and all those guys. And it looks almost like the movie that The Heartbreak Kid tried to be, like a very similar plot of going to the resort and there's the love of your life there and you're kind of tortured by it. So yeah, this looks like it'd actually be really good. I mean, yeah, real sleeper of a trailer because I hadn't heard about this movie prior and now I'd rather see it than a lot of bad movies coming out in 2008. Yeah. So.
You know, it's not. It didn't make my list, so I don't know if there's actually been a release date for it yet.
Isn't it supposed to be sometime in summer, like May or something?
They probably just haven't nailed down the date yet. So
yeah,
that's why I didn't, because that might make my top. You know, because I mean, I enjoyed Superbad; it was hilarious, but it's not making my top list. You know, Knocked Up, not so much. You know, just this. You know, none of them really have. This looks like it could be just a blast.
It does. I wonder if they're going to go for the R rating or the PG-13. I imagine it looks like it's going to be an R rated movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
Well, it's mark your calendars. Friday, February 13th, 2009 is the official release date for the remake of Friday the 13th. They've got a director, Jonathan Liebman, who did the unfortunate Texas Chainsaw Massacre at the beginning, and they've got the release date, but of course, like most movies, no script, no cast, nothing. But they have a release date, so they've got that. So New Line is thinking outside the box and really planning ahead.
If I might make a bit of a, you know, go a little bit outside the box as well, we all know it's going to suck, but we also know it's going to make a ton of money. So why don't they just fast track it, green light it, so it could release June 13th of next year, which happens to be Friday the 13th.
Mm. Maybe a movie like this really would do better, though, in February, not in the summer against, like, all the big behemoths.
I suppose. Yeah, yeah. I suppose. Well, okay. We'll get to that later.
But you never know, because, when the Omen came out last two summers ago, you know, opened on 666, haha, great. Actually, it supposedly had the biggest Tuesday opening of all time, which, of course, there's never been a Tuesday opening before anyway, but...
Yeah. There you go. I seem to be using that one a lot lately. Yeah.
Hey, so. Occasion merits.
Yes, yes.
Finally, this is interesting.
Is this the final?
No, this is not the big one. No, because the big one, that's no. This is just.
I did
this
preemptive
is just,
sigh there.
This is just bizarre. In the November 5th issue of Variety. Now, Variety. Real quick preface. You know, this is where Terry Gilliam wrote his letter to Universal, saying, "Dear Universal, when are you going to release my movie Brazil?" I mean, Variety is often like basically almost like a little
ground
chart.
Zero.
Yeah, like where people can make statements or Hollywood could make statements, or you know, you could really make some attention, make some noise, and it's very expensive to buy an ad in Variety. Warner Brothers put out this little statement, November 5th issue of Variety of this year. Warner Brothers acknowledges and regrets that a number of music cues for the score of 300 were derived from Titus.
Well, no one saw it. I'm not saying that it's good or bad, but
exactly. No one saw Titus, and maybe they thought they could get away with it. But apparently, I don't know if somebody called them on it, or if the composer said something about it. And this is the composer Elliot Goldenthal, whose life partner is Julie Taymor. But apparently Warner Brothers had to bite the bullet and put out that ad.
Ouch.
Yeah, because apparently a lot of the Titus music is in the score for 300. So, but of course, like you said, who under the age of 17 saw 300 like they're stealing from Titus, you know, that didn't happen.
Who under the age of 25?
Who under the age of 45 for that matter? I don't know. You know, I like Titus, but I can't say I really, you know,
remember it for the music.
I don't remember the music. No, I really don't.
Yeah.
So,
all right, getting the bleep button ready, cuz I'm going to go on a tirade here.
All right, this is big news. This is big news for Dave, and I apologize that I had to break this to you this morning. I figured you already knew this bad news.
Yeah, I hadn't heard about this.
This sucks. It really does. One of Dave's very favorite shows, and a huge, huge cult hit worldwide, Space, created by the creators of Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz.
Actually written by Edgar Wright and Jessica Stevens. Simon Pegg and Jessica Stevens.
Let's get this right. Yeah, they wrote it. They created it. Space is officially being remade for Fox TV. And I didn't say some more bad news. Not only is it being remade by them in the vein of The Office with an Americanized version, but it's being written and created by... one of the creators of Will and Grace and McG. The originals.
Okay.
All right. And the originals are not happy about this.
I'm actually pulling up the Spaced website right now.
They've gone out of their way to say that they were not, unlike Ricky Gervais, who was talked to, you know, and approached by the makers of The Office just to kind of get his input and okay on it. And that, of course, The Office turned out very well for Fox. NBC. But none of the original principles of Space have been approached, have been basically Fox just said, screw it, we're going to do our version of it. And apparently Nick Frost, Edgar Wright, all those guys, they are not happy about this.
I can imagine they wouldn't be.
And, honestly, neither am I. Like yourself, I can't imagine this working. You said it yourself, The Big Bang Theory is covering this already.
It's essentially, it's about a guy and a girl who both break up with each other in one of the most creative breakups I've ever seen on a TV show or movie, period, and end up moving in together and pretending to be a couple in order to get this apartment. And he ends up being a complete and utter geek, played by Simon Pegg. And it's an amazing show. Part of the issue with this show is that the characters make this show great. Yes, it's geeky in many ways, but it's also a very distinctly British take on the geekiness.
Yeah.
The stuff that they do about Star Wars in the second series is amazing. I mean, it's hilarious. I don't know how they got Lucas's permission to use the music, because they just absolutely bash Episode One. But here's the thing that torched me up. Okay, I pulled up Edgar Wright's MySpace page, and here's what he says about it. The interesting part about this is that no one has been in touch with him at all. So no one's even bothered to try to contact him. So, quote, so my involvement is indeed very unclear. Would love to know what you all have to say about it. P.S. I can confirm, too, that Simon was never contacted either. Mm. I don't really want to get involved at all, but it infuriates me that they would, A, never bother to get in touch, but still, B, splash me and Simon's names all over the trade announcements and imply that we're involved in the same way Ricky and Steve were with The Office. Mm. Also, it's worth stressing that I will not be profiting from this reversion, nor do they have to get my permission to make it. And then he put a PS on there. I'm calling for everyone to refer to the US version of Space as Mixed Spaced from now on. I can't think of a better distillation of the whole idea. You know, McG has covered geek territory very well with Chuck. This is entirely different.
This is a world of difference.
This is something that's going to be based solely on the story and the strength of story and the strength of characters. And yes, you have like two really strong characters in Chuck, which makes it work, maybe three. This has everyone has to be firing on all cylinders. And you can't take out the drugs. You can't take out the swearing. You can't do any of this stuff. That's like part of what makes this show so good. Mike's guns. You have to have him be an app. They'd probably make him like a complete joke of like a militiaman or something.
Yeah.
And I can't see this being anywhere near as good as the original show. Yeah. The Office really is. I could see this being more more coupling as the U.S. version as opposed to the Office version in the U.S.
Well, for me, the biggest difference between the Office, or rather, excuse me, the thing that they nailed. In adapting The Office for American TV, were the awkward, painful silences, those awkward pauses, and they got that. For this, for Spaced, the tone itself is so unique. It's so distinctly British.
It's written by geeks.
And I can't see them doing anything other than a watered down version of it without stepping on some serious toes. I can't imagine this working without it becoming something like The Big Bang Theory, something we've already seen. If they're going to do movie parodies, it's going to be stuff that is going to be tame or uninspired compared to what they're doing on The Simpsons still. To me, this is a mistake. You know, I'm glad they've got some time to work on this. You know, they're just going to do their run of the Terminator Sarah Connor Chronicle episodes for now.
And the good thing is also that there's only been a pilot ordered.
Right.
So hopefully Fox will, you know, be Fox and kill this show before it even has a chance to start. But again, being Fox, they'll probably let it run forever because, you know, it's going to suck.
Yeah, and clearly, I mean, from what the research you've been doing and looking at the different forums and whatnot, it's clear this is not going to be an issue of fans, you know, really making an outcry and really asking Fox to really step up here. It's clearly a case of this doesn't have the huge fan base. This is truly a cult item, and Fox is going to just do whatever they're going to do.
The Office was a rather cult show as well.
Yeah.
But they, like you said, they caught that lightning in the bottle the second time around, right. And a lot of that has to do with Steve Carell.
Yes.
So unless you get that, but then again, that's based around one character. Now, you know, I would kill to see Edgar Wright do Chuck, because that would be one of the most badass shows. That would be like Hot Fuzz crossed with Spaced, and I would be happy in my pants forever. But this just looks like complete ass. I'm like so holding myself back from saying tons of things that are going to make me use the bleep button more than I'm going to break the bleep button if I go off how I want to go off.
Yeah.
This is a glorious show. Here's the other problem. People won't see it in the U.S., the original series, because of the music issues. So it's never going to come out. So people aren't going to know what this is based off of. So even if it does become moderately successful, they're not going to know what the good stuff is. It's like when Tim's talking about, you know, this kid comes in to buy a Jar Jar Binks doll, and he sends the kid out crying. He's like, look, you don't know how good it was. You weren't there at the beginning. This is crap. So take your 15p and get the hell out of my store, and sends the kids crying out of the store. So it's kind of the same thing.
To me, honestly, like I will be so bold and over the top, and I will say that to me, this is the equivalent of trying to do an American version of Monty Python's Flying Circus. It can't be done. It is too British. It is too distinct. The cast and the tone.
It's too intelligent.
It's too much for American TV. Either you show it originally as it is and you air it on PBS, which is the way I'd love to see it one day, or not at all. I don't think this can be done. To me, this is the impossible.
And they've shown it on BBC America, but even then they edit it down for language and whatever else. So I'm like,
these characters are British, and that is the beauty of them, and that is what makes them distinct and interesting. You turn them into Yankees, it's not as good.
It's gonna be stupid. It's gonna suck. Yep. So okay, I think we should probably stop there.
Yeah, before we start
go and have a coronary,
drop some F-bombs.
Yeah, pretty much. So, all right, let's take a quick break, and we will be right back.
We're here at Geek Label Laboratories to discover if wearing quality Geek Label t-shirts will actually make you smarter. Joining us today is Rodney.
Blinky lights, pretty.
Now we'll outfit Rodney in a sweet as love Geek Label t-shirt. Now we'll introduce Rodney to Schrodinger's cat in the hopes that he will successfully explain the inadequacy of early quantum mechanical theory.
Tastes like chicken.
Rodney, no.
Snack size.
Look smart and feel fly in your custom Geek Label t-shirt, ladies' tee, or any of the many styles now available, including grilling aprons. You pick the style, you pick the color, we do the rest. Will Geek Label products actually make you smarter?
Decoherence make Rodney hungry.
No, dumbass, they're custom t-shirts. They're not magic t-shirts. Another fine product from geeklabel.com.
I love that laugh.
It's good stuff.
Okay, so let's go ahead and talk about our topic, which is actually going to be more positive, now that I've had a little time to cool down.
Yes, man. It was really tense a few minutes there.
Yeah.
And you know what? Hey, this is... we're screen geeks. This is a screen geek show. This is the kind of stuff
Hells
that pisses
yes.
us off. So
Yes.
So Merry Christmas to all.
That's some complete and utter bull.
All right, well, let's talk about next year, the top 10 2008 picks. I actually broke it under three categories. I figure we'll talk about our top 10s that we can't wait to see,
okay.
The ones that we're curious about, and the ones that we think are going to be complete and total crap.
Good thing I've got all of 2008 in front of me, so I can do a quick on the second of them. Pretty much January and February will be the crap.
Oh, goodness.
I'm just saying.
There's a lot of garbage there.
Yeah, so okay, let's. Do you want to start with the good? Let's start with our most anticipated.
Okay.
These aren't movies that we think are the best or are going to be the best movies. These are just 10 movies we can't wait to see. So we might be getting some lists from some other guests here at some point here, but this is just us for right now. So I'll let you kick it off, sir.
Okay. My top 10, the number one movie I cannot wait to see is Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Castle Grayskull? Sorry.
I hope it's better than that. Two, Rambo. Can't wait to see Rambo. Curiosity alone. The new Star Trek film, The Dark Knight. David Fincher's reteaming with Brad Pitt in The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. Steve Carell in Get Smart. The Happening, the new film with M. Night Shyamalan. Drobit Taylor, of the three movies that are coming out this year that are like the new frat pack comedies, including Tropic Thunder, Pineapple Express, Drobit Taylor with Owen Wilson looks the funniest to me. I cannot wait to see the new X-Files movie. And finally, Richard Kelly's little film after his big, big debacle of Southland Tales, The Box, starring Cameron Diaz.
You know, I kind of cheated a little bit because I knew you were going to mention the X-Files, so I got to leave it off my list.
Oh, okay. That's cool. Hey, the more the merrier.
Yes. Yeah. I actually put mine in chronological order. There is no actual list here. The first one is Cloverfield. Okay. I really cannot wait to see this. It looks like it could be a really good time.
Gosh, you got less than a month to wait for that now.
I do, yes. After that is I'm a huge Michel Gondry fan, so Be Kind, Rewind. I will see it. I don't. Yeah. It could be, you know, someone reading the phone book and I'll watch it because sure. The man's a genius. Next is, speaking of spaced, Simon Pegg in Run, Fat Boy, Run.
Yeah, with Tandy Newton. Yeah, yes. That looks good.
Yeah, I'm not a big Tandy Newton fan, but Hank Azaria and Simon Pegg.
And didn't David Schwimmer direct that?
Yes, which is the first like giant red alarm, you know, red alert, you know, but... Yeah. I saw the trailer and it won me over. I haven't seen
the trailer, so it does look good.
Oh, the trailer looks awesome.
Great.
Yes, I cannot wait to see this. It's kind of, you know, Peg in a leading role and kind of see what he can do. So I think he's going to carry it well.
Good.
After that is Iron Man. Mm-hmm. I have to. Next is the Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian, because it looks like it's taking a very distinctly darker step, which is what the book was.
Yeah.
It looks amazing. Now we get into territory with that shares with you, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Did I get that right for once?
Oh, yes.
Holy
crap. I've been saying the Temple of the whatever. Yeah.
I'm used to saying Castle Grayskull just as a joke that I was afraid I was going to say that. Then Get Smart. That might be close to my number one. Mm-hmm. Actually, probably number three. I don't know. Whatever. Then we got The Dark Knight because that's a given. And I've never been a Bond fan, but Casino Royale sold me so well that I cannot wait to see Bond 22.
Sure.
And then Star Trek, because it's Star Trek.
Star Trek, the new Star Trek film. How awesome is that?
Yes, yes.
Okay, well, a few that I left off that I'm very curious about. These are on the positive end. I'm almost positive these are going to rock, but all the same, I left them off. I did leave off Iron Man, but...
No teeth?
Ah, yes, the date movie for everyone. Bryan Singer's Valkyrie, I'm really curious about that, with Tom Cruise and Kenneth Branagh. And also the reboot of The Incredible Hulk with Edward Norton and Liv Tyler.
Yes, that one almost made my list too.
Yeah, me too. The movies that I mentioned, the two frat back comedies, Pineapple Express with Seth Rogen and James Franco looks hysterical. And Tropic Thunder, really, really funny idea for a movie, a parody of The Making of Apocalypse Now, starring Robert Downey Jr. and I think Ben Stiller.
Cool.
I'm a fan, so I'm going to check out Sex and the City, the movie. I know I'm in the minority here, but I do want to check that out. And then also, on the positive end of the Can't Wait, I'm really looking forward to George A. Romero's Diary of the Dead, just to see what that guy
is. You know, I'm really curious to see that, because I wasn't blown away by Land of the Dead by a long shot. I was kind of, you know, some of it was kind of interesting. Yeah, so hang on here. Do you have anything else? Because I'm kind of
cheating here. Oh, no, that's fine. Take your time. I'll just throw these out. Ones that I'm curious about, but I'm not... positive they're going to rock. I am going to be the biggest geek jerk here and say I don't think Cloverfield's going to be all that great.
It probably isn't because of when it's releasing.
I've got my doubts. I got my doubts because J.J. Abrams did not direct it, and I just with the cast and just from what it looks to me, it looks like stuff we've already seen. I think it's cool that there is a summer movie level type of film coming out in January. That's exciting to actually have like an event movie in theaters in January, but it just doesn't look, I mean, and of course it's kind of ridiculous that I think Rambo is going to be awesome and Cloverfield isn't.
You know, I was like, you know, I want to see it. I'm curious to see it. You know, whatever.
And so, you know, the hype has been like so deafening since last year. It's like, might as well just see Cloverfield, but that's one I'm not that crazy about. I hate the fact that they're remaking my favorite slasher film of all time, April Fool's Day, which, of course, not coincidentally, opens on April 1st of next year. A book that I read last year that was so freaking overrated, and I thought it was so ridiculous, and now they're making a movie out of it, The Ruins. I saw the trailer to it the other day, and I got to say, I'm not happy. And I also, I'm really annoyed that the book was so careful to not reveal what the secret of the ruins was. And it's all over the trailer. USA Today did an article on the making of the movie, and they completely gave away the big twist. So I feel like I'm like the last person in America like guarding the secret of the ruins, even though it really wasn't. It was a silly, dumb book, and it's going to be a dumb horror movie. They're remaking Prom Night, because you really need a Prom Night remake.
Yeah, okay, well, let me do my curious to see. Okay. I'm not going to say it's going to be – well, these are like, I'm curious to see it / I think they're going to be good.
Okay.
I'm curious to see the Spiderwick Chronicles. Mm. The trailers have actually been pretty solid. I'm really, you know, I really want to check that out. Obviously, Diary of the Dead's kind of a, you know, kind of have to see that. Semi-pro is such a goofy concept, and I love basketball.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I've got to at least think about that possibly. The Forbidden Kingdom, which is, you know, I'm not sure, even sure what it's about, but I see the names Jackie Chan and Jet Li on the same title card. I have to see it.
They're finally together in a movie, yeah.
There's definitely. No way I can miss that. The Incredible Hulk, absolutely. Wall-E didn't make it on either of our lists.
Yeah, yeah. And Ratatouille wasn't on my list last year. I think we just kind of, I'll speak for myself, I just kind of expect Pixar to just knock it out of the park every time.
Yeah, and apparently they showed like 10 minutes of it at Buttonomathon for Ain't It Cool, mm-hmm. and apparently it's amazing. It's cool because they didn't get big voices. Essentially, there's no actual English spoken.
Oh.
So it's like bleeps and bloops, but you can tell what they're saying kind of thing. So I'm really curious to see that. Hancock, I want to see it just because. Hellboy 2, also, I think I'm curious to see it, but I think it's going to be a good time. Valkyrie was close. It almost made it on my list, but then I remembered it as a Tom Cruise movie.
Is it Valkyrie or Valkyrie? It's Valkyrie. Okay, Valkyrie, I'm going to start saying Valkyrie now. Okay.
That's okay. Yeah, because, I mean, you got Tom Cruise, who I'm really not, everyone knows I'm not a big fan of, but I love Bryan Singer, and I've doubted him once, and that movie was called Superman. So I've learned not to.
That's cool that you and I are like the two people who really liked Superman Returns, because yeah, a lot of people did not like that. Didn't. I love Superman
there
Returns.
There were issues with it, absolutely.
Yeah.
But still, I dug it overall. Yeah. And Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. Mm. You know, I'm curious to see what they keep doing with the Potter franchise.
It's going
to
get darker and darker.
Well, I was talking to Steph, and she's said it outright. I'm really surprised that they've done so well at keeping the cast together for so long.
Yeah.
Now, who knows how many Will Bros full of cash they had to throw at them.
Oh, sure.
You know, yeah. So
those kids have been good, too. I wonder, like, are the incentives that Warner Brothers is giving them so good that, you know, they're not going to, like, hang out with Lindsay Lohan and Britney Spears? I mean, that's, you know, there's a lot of temptations in Hollywood. I mean, I also admire the cast of High School Musical. They've been keeping their noses clean. And, you know, seriously, like, Ashley Tisdale is like a priest compared to, like, you know, Paris Hilton. Anyway.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So shall we move on to the crap?
Well,
or do you have some
I've got
some
two iffies. More. Two okay. more that I'm really iffy about. One is one... The premise is so fascinating, but I've got some mixed feelings about it. It's written and directed by Charlie Kaufman, who we all love, called Synecdoche, New York. Have you heard about this one?
Mm-mm, no.
Opens in March, starring Philip Seymour Hoffman. It's about a guy who apparently has to rebuild all of New York from scratch.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's like, it's such a crazy idea, like most of Kaufman's stuff.
Yeah.
It could either go either way and be something brilliant, like Being John Malkovich, or be something kind of in the middle, like Human Nature. So I'm curious about that one. And then probably the biggest one for me, because I'm a big fan of the original film, The Wolfman, the remake of The Wolfman.
Yeah.
Benicio del Toro, and apparently I think Rick Baker's doing the makeup.
Cool. I kind of half expected you to put Vantage Point, because you kind of seemed really interested by the, at least by the premise of it.
Yeah, yeah. Very cool looking movie, but I think because they're releasing it in the spring, I think that it has my doubts. I tend to, I don't know, if a movie opens in January, like the release date is like January 14th, I'm like, oh, that's gonna suck. So
yeah, and there's that. Yeah,
but the cast is terrific. Also, I'd see anything with Sigourney Weaver and Dennis Quaid and Forest Whitaker. So
yeah.
That's it for my midpoint list.
Okay, shall we move on to the crap? I'm almost done with the list, so why don't you kick it off and I'll be ready to kick.
Okay,
in
well actually quick. I only have three, because there's only three that
Really?
Well, gosh,
I've got like 20 here so far.
Kind of teetering back and forth with Mamma Mia, because, like, you know, it's Meryl Streep and Colin Firth and Pierce Brosnan, but that could go either way. But no, okay, yeah. Okay. I'll start with the number one. I think is going to be the worst movie of next year, hands down.
Superhero movie?
No, actually, Darren Bousman's Repo: The Genetic Opera, starring Paris Hilton. It's a musical. It's a futuristic musical, and they showed clips of it on Entertainment Tonight. I gotta say, like, they showed the same clip a few times, and I couldn't believe how awful it looks. And, you know, I've had a bone to pick with Darren Bousman ever since he created the non-classics Saw 2 and 3, but this looks amazing bad.
Okay. So, what are the other two? Because I've got
The
plenty.
Other two are Speed Racer.
Okay.
And 10,000 BC.
Yes, okay, 10,000 BC. Speed Racer, I'm not going to dog on, because I wasn't a fan of the source material, so I kind of feel like I don't really have a whole lot of right. Mm-hmm. And there's stuff on here that I could just, you know, it's easy to take pot shots at a Hannah Montana, Miley Cyrus, Best of Both Worlds concert tour, but I'm going to leave it alone.
You're not a Hannah Montana fan?
Not so, well, okay, see, not the demographic, so I'm going to leave that alone. Some of these are going to be the Captain Obvious Award, you know, One Missed Call. Then one of the front runners, because, you know, the man, we named our award after this guy, the Uwe Boll Memorial Worst Movie of the Year Award. We have In the Name of the King, a Dungeon Siege Tale.
Oh, that's right.
The 2-minute trailer bored me.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, and then I have to make this out. Mad Money, you know, a.k.a. the movie Katie Holmes dropped Batman for.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, that's coming out in January. It's kind of funny how a lot of these are in January.
Keaton. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good-looking cast.
Yeah, yeah, and based purely off of the bad word it got was the Poughkeepsie Tales.
Right.
Tapes. Apparently, it's just awful.
It looks dreadful.
Yeah.
The trailer was awful, and it was that trailer and the one with the Diane Lane online slasher movie. What was that one called?
I don't know.
There's one. It's from the same studio, and I saw it in the same batch of trailers. Yeah, it was Poughkeepsie, and I think it was like, I can't remember. Untraceable, maybe? Maybe that's okay. The title. Yeah, but it's another internet slasher movie with Diane Lane. It looks awful from the same studio.
Gotcha. You know, some of these are going to be yearly entrants. You know, you have Larry the Cable Guy's Witless Protection.
They let him do another movie?
Yeah, apparently.
Because I saw his first one, and that was one of last year's worst films.
Yeah.
One of the worst films of all time, I might add.
Yeah, 10,000 BC's on my list, too, because that movie just looks
so
awful.
Dumb.
Prom Night. It's a horror remake. Pretty much if it's a horror remake, I'm just marking it off as crap now.
The one thing that they've got on their end is that Prom Night, the original Prom Night with Jamie Lee Curtis and Leslie Nielsen, is one of the worst slasher movies of all time. So really, they really have to do incredibly bad to do worse than the original Prom Night. Because the original Prom Night is awful.
Okay, fair enough. All right, this will torque off some people. Kung Fu Panda. It's an animated film that looks like crap, and it's from DreamWorks Animation.
Jack Black, though. Jack Black doing the voice of Kung Fu Panda? No?
Yippee.
No? Okay.
No.
They were promoting that big time at Comic-Con. They had these posters everywhere for it, and it's just one of these movies. No one has really reacted to it much.
No.
I don't think there's any anticipation.
From the studio that brought you Shrek the Turd. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, and Shark Tale.
Yes. Yeah. You know, in July, this one's... Talk about a movie with a giant bullseye on it. They don't even have a title for it yet. It's the Untitled Ice Cube Family Comedy.
Oh, no.
So there's something coming.
I wonder if it's actually a sequel to Are We There Yet, but they just don't know if they want to use that title. Like, do we chance it? Do we go for a trilogy?
Do we want to keep beating the dead horse? A superhero movie I have to put on there because I'm guessing it's the same as Epic Movie and all those other movies, and I'm going to want to punch a kitten.
Well, I know Meet the Spartans is. Have you seen the trailer for that? I don't even need to tell you what that's okay. A parody of, but that's from the same guys. And the biggest headliners in the cast are Carmen Electra and Kevin Sorbo, Hercules himself.
Wow. Okay, then. Yeah. Wow. That's just interesting. Oh, no, I'm not going to take pot shots at the Sister to the Traveling Pants 2. but I will take pot shots at the Mummy Tomb of the Dragon Emperor, considering it has, pretty much nobody from the original movies.
That's a disappointment. And I got to say, like, people have been dogging on Rob Cohen, that director. People forget that Rob Cohen directed Dragon, the Bruce Lee story, which I think is a fine movie. But
absolutely.
Somewhere around the line, he did end up making Triple X and The Fast and the Furious and Stealth. So,
oh, yeah.
So Rob, really, you need to start going up at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we've got I'm thinking this is a Scanners remake.
Yes, that's right.
There's no way that
Darren
can be good.
Darren Lynn Bousman, I guess that's his name. He's actually doing that one. So yeah.
Oh, look, next to Saw 5. I can't imagine why that would be a coincidence.
Gee, Darren, you're going to end up on the worst list twice this year.
You could. And then Motel Hell just looks like crap. So
they're remaking Motel Hell.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it comes out on Halloween.
Oh, great.
But I guess it scared Saw 5 off into releasing on the 24th. So
the original Motel Hell is actually pretty good for what it is. With Rory Calhoun.
There is no original horror left in America.
Yeah, we're starting the year off. The first one out of the gate is One Missed Call, which
is a crappy Japanese remake.
Which is funny because
one is a crappy Japanese movie.
It's like one of the it's the least of Takashi Miike's considerable filmography.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like I can't wait for Django Western, but
with Shannon Sossaman, who, no offense to all you Shannon Sossaman fans still out there, but seriously, her career was up like 5 years ago
at Night's Tale.
Yeah. Yeah.
Knight's Tale was good, but not because of her.
Rules of Attraction. I think solid movie, not because of her.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay, that's my crap list. So there's a lot of it out there.
Some bad movies coming out next year.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. And, you know, there are ones I just didn't leave that I left out. You know, I there's one curiosity I want to talk about. I totally forgot to mention My Blueberry Nights.
What is that?
It's a Wong Kar-wai film.
Oh, cool.
So I like him. I have to at least check it out.
Yeah, I like 2046, and I liked In the Mood for Love.
And there's some pretty serious people in it. I forget who all's in it. I think Natalie Portman's in it and some other people. And it looks interesting. It looks kind of surreal. It didn't get the best word of mouth, kind of like oh, what is it? I'm a cyborg, but that's okay, or whatever.
Yeah.
In Korea, which is done by Chan-wook Park, the guy who did Old Boy in the Vengeance movies.
Yeah.
But still, I want to see it.
There's a lot of solid, like a lot of repeat offenders. Like this year, the Coen Brothers had a big comeback. They've got one with George Clooney coming out next year. That's supposed to be fantastic. Everybody who's seen it has loved it.
Yeah.
What else? There's a lot of trying to think who else. Woody Allen, of course, has his movie a year, and his next one's supposed to be really good too. And also with Scarlett Johansson, apparently. Yeah.
So I have to ask you, what do you think about Leatherheads?
I think it's going to be really good. From what I've heard, they pushed it back because it just wasn't ready, and Clooney was too busy pushing Michael Clayton. But apparently, it's an old-fashioned screwball love story, like the Philadelphia Story, or like, you know, one of those.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's apparently a love triangle. It's not so much a movie about the history of when football first became football, but it's more really centered on the love triangle between John Krasinski, Renee Zellweger, and Clooney. And apparently, it's a really fun, very, very well done romantic comedy.
Well, it makes sense because there was a point in time in Clooney's career. I don't know if it's past or not, but there's a time when he very much could have taken a Cary Grant type of route. So it kind of makes sense that he'd get to this sooner or later.
Yeah, exactly. This is like the first thing he's done of this type probably since One Fine Day. I certainly would not count Intolerable Cruelty.
No.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap this bad boy up.
Yes.
Let's go ahead and talk about what's hitting theaters this week.
This week in theaters. Here we go. It's Christmas time, so you got some Christmas movies for everyone, from The Scrooge, from The Christmas Lover, to Ozzy Osbourne. Here we go. You've got, first of all, The Bucket List, Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman, a new Rob Reiner comedy.
That sounds kind of interesting.
I'm looking forward to it. I think we're all going to see that on Christmas Day. Gunnison, Colorado gets the crap kicked out of it in Alien vs. Predator Requiem. A rag Gunnison. and a movie that feels like it's been seriously under-advertised. Maybe it's just me. Denzel Washington and Forrest Whitaker in the film, directed by Denzel Washington, The Great Debaters. Emily Watson and Ben Chaplin, two wonderful actors. Why are you in The Water Horse? A film that was critically acclaimed, one of the most acclaimed animated films of the year, and a big hit at the Denver Film Festival, Persepolis, opening a limited release. And finally, the new masterpiece by Paul Thomas Anderson in limited release, There Will Be Blood, starring Daniel Day-Lewis.
Limited release meaning two theaters.
Yeah.
So,
but I'm sure it'll explode and it'll be like, apparently it opens wide on January the 18th. So,
okay. So here's my curiosity. When we were talking about this earlier in the year, Alien vs. Predator Requiem was going to be releasing in January.
Yeah.
Surefire crap. And apparently Stephanie just started her computer back up.
Good musical underscoring.
Yeah, there we go. So they move it up 2 weeks to get into non-crap time. Does 2 weeks really make that big of a difference, do you think?
Maybe, because...
In confidence, at least?
Well, this way it doesn't compete directly with Cloverfield.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm sure there will be some... More so than last year with Black Christmas, which was such a backfire. But I think this year, this kind of counter-programming, you know, of an event, so quote-unquote, event variety of Alien vs. Predator, I think it will find something of an audience.
Gotcha. And they wouldn't want to push it back a week because, you know, who wants to go up against In the Name of the King?
Yes.
So.
Exactly. Yeah, so this I think this could actually... They could make some serious bang over the holiday season, even though, of course, it has not been previewed for the critics. This is always a bad sign.
Yeah, but with these kind of movies...
And this one doesn't even have any... Apparently, no names in the cast either.
Interesting. Okay.
Well, yeah. And again, Gunnison, Colorado gets toasted. It's like it was the saddest story in the Colorado front page. Not only is this movie... It was not filmed in Gunnison, but it takes place in Gunnison. Apparently, Fox went down there, took pictures of Gunnison, so you know, it really looks like Gunnison is just getting beat to crap. And the sad thing is that Gunnison only has one movie theater, so there's a good chance that the people of Gunnison won't even see their town getting destroyed on Christmas
for like 6 months.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about the DVDs.
DVD release.
Wow.
All right. For all you Jonathan Brandis fans still out there, Sequest Season 2.
Aw, yeah.
All right. Just had to throw that one out there. Resident Evil Evolution.
Extinction, isn't it?
Thank you. Was Evolution Part 2?
Evolution was a movie with Orlando Jones.
All right. Well, what was Resident Evil 2? Is Resident Evil that was Resident Extinction? Or what was the second one called? Apocalypse.
Okay.
You're right, Apocalypse. Okay.
I've seen them so many times. How could I have forgotten?
So now,
I mean,
so yeah. I'm still two Resident Evil movies behind. I only saw the first one. So it's Resident Evil Extinction. That's the third one? Okay.
Yes.
Mila Jovovich looking gorgeous as always.
There you go.
There you go. One of the worst films of the year, according to me anyway. Josh does not agree. Shoot 'em up with Clive Owen, Monica Bellucci.
I will check it out to rent. I'll rent it on a free street.
I will say this about there: you've never seen a movie like this where a guy gets impaled with a carrot within the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Okay.
The movie starts at that over-the-top knob of 11 and just goes up from there. I couldn't go along with it, but some people will.
So you're saying I should watch this one by myself, probably?
It's not a day movie, that's
okay.
For sure.
Okay, fair enough.
I hated it, but you know what? I think this thing could very well be a cult film. Already on DVD, War with Jet Li and Jason Statham. Man, that didn't take very long. The Killer Mormons are out again. September Dawn, the controversial film with John Boyne.
I had to make sure we put that in there. Gosh.
The Killer Mormon movie. Merry Christmas to all.
Yeah.
And then the best news of the week, Weird Science, the TV series, season 1 and 2, which
that's,
I imagine,
awesome.
Has to be the complete series. I don't think they did more than two seasons.
Yeah,
of that
Misfits
thing.
Of Science went further than Weird Science did, but still.
If I remember correctly, I don't think I'm going to be able to remember her name correctly, but the actress who starred in Kingpin took over for Kelly LeBrock and played the hottie in Weird Science, the series. I can't remember her name, but that was like her only big movie role. She was the hottie in Kingpin.
Okay.
And she played the woman they created.
So, okay. So since we're talking about 80s TV on DVD, using the special bit torrential antenna, I have started finally watching the first season of Parker Lewis Can't Lose.
And your synopsis?
It holds up amazingly better than it has any business holding up.
Wow.
Far better than Weird Science. We do need this show on DVD. It's glorious because it's about it takes jabs at 80s pop culture to an extent. You know, like you hear about people charging $70 for a laser disc and stuff like that, you know, $60 for a VHS copy of something.
Yeah.
In that aspect, you're like, what? But the actual, like, the characters are solid. It's essentially, you know, it's an anti-authoritarian TV show, you know, the guy getting away with it. This is the part that this is the Ferris Bueller's TV show that did better than the Ferris Bueller TV show. And I would highly recommend finding a way to watch it however you can, because it is a heck of a fun show.
Hmm.
So just had to throw that out there, throwing my two cents along with the Geek Label guys.
No, I love it. Like I'm you know, waving my fist in the air for Wonder Years on DVD, and you're on the other side for Parker Lewis Can't Lose.
Well, no, I'm all for Wonder Years if they can do the original music. Like, they have released like the first two seasons, but they haven't used the original music. They couldn't clear the music rights.
Okay, and that's how you feel about Parker Lewis then?
Yeah, they use some really good music, and they like outright mention bands like Depeche Mode and like, you know, like have the logo on tickets that they're selling out of their lockers and stuff. So I think that could be a prime reason why it's never going to make it, but
it's a shame.
It's a good show.
Yeah.
Well, worth checking out. So, well, heck, I guess that's about it, huh?
That's it. Do we have any emails or?
No, nothing. That's okay. I was a little late getting the show up, so that's my fault. It's all good. But if you'd like to send us an email, shoot us an email, podcast@screengeeks.com. I don't have our voicemail number in front of me, so you can. It's on the front page of the
site.
It's on
the site. You'll find it.
Yeah, you'll see it there. And happy Festivus to all.
Yes, happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, and happy Kwanzaa to all of you. Thank you, all of you listeners out there. We really appreciate it. Hope you
Kwanzaa
have
bot, giving out the book. What the hell is Kwanzaa anyway? Yeah, but happy holidays to all. Hope you enjoy it. We're actually taking next week off. We'll be back in the new year. So we're taking the rest of the year off.
That's right. We're going to get caught up, and next week, two weeks from now, we'll talk about the best and worst films of 2007.
Are we going already there?
You think?
I don't know. We'll see.
Is it too soon?
I think it might be too soon. We'll figure something out.
Okay. We'll figure it out. Yeah. We'll be back with something.
Exactly. So until like 2 weeks from now, this is Dave.
This is Barrett.
Take it easy.
Merry Christmas.